This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Welcome to episode 285. Jimmy Allen will be on. Talks about reaching out to Morgan Wallen. Also meeting, hanging out with Kobe Bryant, which is cool. We'll also talk about country artists with the most Grammys and who's the living legend now. So big episode here. Let's start with the new music top five. At number five this week that I'm excited to check out, Carrie Underwood put out a new gospel song called Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. At number four this week, Jordan Davis has a song out called Need to Not. Gonna give us one more shot. I know I need to not. Yeah, I need to not this. At number three, Nick Jonas has a new album called Spaceman, and here's a new song called This Is Heaven. I'm always drawn to the Jonas Brothers stuff. I always go Jonas Brothers, eh. But every song they put out is really good.
Yeah.
Even Nick Jonas. I wonder what those other brothers said too when Nick's like, guys, I'm going to go back solo for a minute. I'm sure they're cool with it.
They did a skit like on SNL with Kevin.
Yeah.
He's like, hey man, I just bought a house. Like, are you going and leaving us? It's pretty funny.
At number two, Lady A has a new song called Like a Lady. I feel like a lady. Sipping on tequila with my Levi's on a lady. Is that Charles Kelly singing background on Like a Lady?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Feels weird. That should just be a Hillary only. And number one, Darius Rucker has a new song out called My Masterpiece. I hope they say my masterpiece is loving you, yeah, loving you, babe. Loving you, babe. In music news, Jay-Z's net worth jumped by 40%. He's now worth $1.4 billion. He was already a billionaire.
Yeah.
He went from one to 1.4. Dang. Nico Moon lands his first ever number one. And it's time to jam. More I hear it, more I love it, you know?
Me too.
Yeah, more I hear it, more I love it. Always liked it, then started to love it a little bit, but now I love it. Just such a good song. The very first rock song turned 70 years old last week, which I didn't know this song, honestly. It's called Rocket 88 by Ike Turner and the Kings of Rhythm. You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's great, just one. And they call that the very first rock song.
First rock song.
Is that a horn in there?
Yeah. Baby, we'll like saxophone.
Yeah. And speaking of Darius, he has the number one song this week that we're looking forward to, but he's been named Southerner of the Year by Southern Living Magazine, which recognizes him for his work, his music efforts, but raising money for St. Jude. Just a good dude. Love Darius. Congratulations to him. All right. Let's get going with today's episode. I love it. Check it out. Here's Jimmy Allen and then a bunch of Grammy talk. Enjoy. Here with Jimmy Allen, which I was looking at some of the track listing for Bettie James, and I'm always curious at the process and asking people much cooler than yourself. No offense. Much cooler than yourself to much do something cooler. With you. Because sometimes I have to ask people cooler, way cooler than me to do stuff with me, and I'm always a little weird about it. How do you ask, for example, let's do the song now, you and Brad Paisley, you have a song together. Yeah. It's the song out of radio, Freedom Was a Highway. How does that ask go? Do you do it or does your people do it?
Man, so I kind of did it myself. It kind of happened because I was, Brad had texted me one night. It was like, hey, after you play the opera tonight, come by the house. He said, Darius is coming, and he said, Bill Shatner is here. I was like, that was Bill Shatner.
William Shatner.
I was like, you know, people my age, we know him from Unsolved Mysteries. I didn't know who, I've never heard him called Bill Shatner before. So I went over there and I get there. Tim McGraw's outside peeing out in front of the house. So we go in and we're just talking, me, Tim, Brad, and Darius. And I'm sitting here looking like, how did I get in this room? How much money these dudes are worth? Like,
right.
A lot. So then we grabbed the guitars and start playing. And then Tim was like, yo, we should do a song together. He said, Jimmy, here's my number. Text me. Let's do a song. I was like, now listen, I'm the dude that if you give me your number and you say text me to do something, I'm going to text you. So I went to L.A. like 2 days after that, and I wrote Made for These. And I texted to Tim. I was like, hey, what do you think about this song? He's like, dude, I love it. Let's do it. Then Brad, I had Freedom written like a year and a half before that. I wrote it with Ash and this guy named Matt Rogers. And he was like, I love it. I was like, perfect. And then the Darius and Charlie song, man. I actually had another song I wanted to do with Darius and Charlie. But it was like a drinking song. And Darius was like, bro, we can't have the first song we do with Charlie Pride be a drinking song. I was like, good point. So the day after Kobe died, I was writing. It was me, my bass player, Tate Howe, who is my first signing to my publishing company. He's dope. Kerry Barlow and Brandon Day. We wrote it the day after Kobe died. And just think about life, man. You know, like, life throws stuff at you. Like, Kobe was probably one of the most motivated people I ever knew. Like, every conversation I had with Kobe, I just left feeling more motivated. Like, you know, what can't I do? What people say I can't do, I got to go do it. So that's what kind of how that song came about. So I called Charlie, gave it to Darius, and they were like, yeah. So that's kind of how that comes. I just reached out to everybody. And after I got everybody's yes, then I called the labels like, hey, I'm going to do this collab EP. I already got the artist. They all said yes. I kind of did the work before I even went.
What about Nelly?
Nelly, he was in town. I saw him. I was walking the same building I was walking to for a meeting. He was walking out. I texted my manager, yo, Nelly's in town. Can you find out why? He was like, yeah, sure. So he finds out why Nelly's in town. He's in town writing. Then he said, hey, Nelly can write with you tonight at 9. But we wrote that like 2019. And then we had a show the next day in Minnesota. I was like, all right. It's a hard decision. Do I stay and write with Nelly or do I get on the tour bus? Because me and my band, we hang out on the tour bus. We play PlayStation. So do I play PlayStation or do I write with Nelly? So I wrote with Nelly. And then I just flew to Minnesota the next day. That's how that one worked.
Let's see. So that I was going to play some of Made for These, which is you and McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, play me a clip of this. So if Tim were to send, because I'm assuming you guys did not record them at the same time,
mm-mm.
Right? Like he went and did his thing and he sent it back to you.
Yep.
If he would have sent something back that wasn't your vision and heck, you didn't love, would you have said, can we cut this a little different?
Or Oh, yeah.
Oh, you would have.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like when you're creating music, man, you want it to be the best. And I feel like a lot of times people work with legends and stuff like that and they just like, okay, we'll just take it because they're on it, but I still want it to be good. You know what I mean? And knowing Tim's capability, like, he killed that song. I remember Tim told me, he said, dude, you're going to make me, like, sing for real on this song. I said, why? He said, because you're singing for real, so I have to sing for real. He killed it. Like, he did his thing. But, yeah, if I didn't feel it was done right, you know what I mean? Like, hey, man, you mind redoing this part or redoing that part? The only thing he could say is no or screw you. But he killed it.
And I think he would. He'd say no or screw you yeah. if he didn't feel like... I think people are going to kill me if I don't follow up on you saying the times that you've spoken with Kobe. How did you meet Kobe Bryant?
Man, I met Kobe at a Lakers game backstage. And like around near the locker room area. And just, shucks, I think I was.
A game when he was playing or after he retired?
Oh, he was playing. He was playing. I think it was 2000 and, shucks, when I meet Kobe, 2005? No, 2006 or 2007.
That long ago?
Yeah.
How did you get in the locker room in 2006?
Man, I'm going to tell you something about me. I used to sneak in a lot of places, bro. Like, I've snuck into Grammy parties. I've snuck into CSAC Awards. I've snuck into the CMAs before I got a record deal. Because this is the thing. When you're a black guy with cowboy boots on and a leather jacket and you act like you know where you're going, nobody stops you. So I was sitting like four rows up behind the Lakers bench, and I saw people just going backstage to get drinks. So I had a cup in my hand, and I just followed another group of black guys. I think they were like rappers or something. I don't know. But nobody stopped me. Then I was back there just hanging out, acting like I'm on my phone, talking. Kobe walked by, said, hey, what's up to him? And
how do you say, hey, what's up to him just walking by, though?
Like, I was like, Kobe, what up? Good to see you, bro. Act like I knew him. He said, hey, what's up, man? he was like, what's your name again? I said, Jimmy.
Again, because he thinks he probably met you at some point.
Exactly. So I saw him there. Then I saw him at a few events before we bumped into each other. Like, I think we've had about over 15, 20 conversations.
Did it ever get to the point where you guys just saw each other as like, Jimmy, Kobe?
Oh, yeah. We got to that point.
Was it after you had started to get heat or get success that it was a bit of a peer-to-peer, we're both in?
Nah, it was more just he saw me everywhere. Like, at different events he was at in L.A., I was there. A couple events in Miami, he was there, I was there. Like, I used to, like, purposely put myself in places to meet people. Because I feel like if you want to be successful, you got to surround yourself with successful people. That's why I was killing myself when I first moved to town and moved to Brentwood, because I knew most people lived in Brentwood. So I ran into people at the gym, the grocery store, at restaurants, and I would just talk to them.
I was watching you play in one of the celebrity, maybe it was, because I don't think they had an All-Star game last year, but the year before. Were you playing in the celebrity All-Star game?
No, that was Kane. I played in the celebrity game.
I watched you a few years ago. All my years are done.
Yeah.
It was
this Monster Inc. celebrity game I did with Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
And like T.O. and Gronk and all of them, yeah.
All the celebrity games to me are the same, mm-hmm. and I don't know the difference. And
yeah.
I just remember seeing you play.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, who was the best celebrity basketball player on the court that night?
Terrell Owens.
Well, okay, but he played, Tennessee State?
Yeah, he's good.
Is that where, or Tennessee Chattanooga?
Chattanooga or something.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was a college basketball player. Remove him. Remove anyone that played basketball at a high level. I'll ask you this. Who is the best celebrity basketball player you've played with or against that wasn't a ball player?
That wasn't a ball player? Probably Matt Stell.
I beat him out here.
Matt Stell can hoop when he turns it on.
I tell you this, though. I only beat him because we were shooting and hustling. If he was... He's 6'6 and plays like a guard.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, when Matt turns it on, he can hoop. Kane can hoop. I still think I'm better than both of them, for sure.
Do you guys get competitive when you're with each other to the point where it'll get a bit chippy at times?
Not really chippy, because, you know, we're out here playing, but at some point in the game, we both want to win. So it's like when the game kind of gets close, you'll see people, like, really turn it up. Guys that love ball and, like, play ball and competitive, whether they're good or not, they kind of – turns it up a little bit. Even Gator turns it up out there.
Yeah, Gator's competitive.
He hustles. I say he's an undersized white Dennis Rodman.
An undersized white Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm. Dude rebounds like nobody I've ever
really?
Seen before. And his energy is crazy.
He does have crazy
he's
energy.
Scrappy. Yeah. He's the type of person you want on your team.
He's oddly a really good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's close to 50 now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's at least 72 for sure.
Are you more jacked right now than the last time?
Have you been
hitting it hard?
Yeah, I've been hitting the weights hard.
Weights, are you still doing cardio, or
mm-hmm.
are you just trying to get big?
I want to be big and chiseled. I want to be big, but I want to be in shape. But not really too big. You know what I mean? I want to look big enough to somebody walk up to me, they won't think it's just going
to
be easy.
Are you having to get clothes fitted? Because my trouble is I got extremely thin a couple years ago when I was going from Dancing with the Stars to American Idol, and I had to stay thin because my clothes didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got all these clothes. They were like a 30 in pants.
Jeez.
And now, I'm probably 15 pounds heavier, and I got like one section of clothes I can never wear. But it's like you fluctuate as well.
Yeah.
Are you having to like go to different closets and be like, all right, this is thin, Jimmy?
Like, luckily, my waist hasn't changed. Like, I try to keep my waist the same. So I'm like a 34. Like, I've managed to stay at 34. Like, my shirts, I'll fluctuate from like an extra large to a large. Just depends on the day.
I was looking at the ACM nominations. And I'm going to be a little bit insulted for you for a second. It's weird for me to be a little bit insulted when you get nominated. But they have you for New Male Artist of the Year. You have multiple massive assault. I get in. Good for you, right?
Yeah.
Good for you. To me, you're established Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't have to even comment on this. I'm just telling you how I feel about this.
Yeah.
When I see, and I'll read you the people here, Jimmy Allen, Travis Denning, new artist, should be up there in it. Hardy, new artist, should be up there in it. Cody Johnson. I'd put him, Cody's been around for a while.
Yeah. I guess he's new as far as mainstream.
Nashville, sure.
Yeah.
Parker McCollum, new.
New, yeah.
These guys don't have, as artists, and I'm friends with one, two, three of the four of them. Mm-hmm. They don't have, as an artist, the success that you have right now. And when I saw you on that, I was like, you know what? Good for Jimmy. And if he doesn't win, that's stupid. Because he's got... And when they put you on new artist list at the beginning of the year, and I'm like, the guy's got freaking songs, massive hits. What do you mean new artist? And it's a weird reason to be insulted.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way when I saw Midland got nominated for new artist. I think they're on their second record. I'm interested to know how what new means. I think... Isn't it something like new artists, you can be nominated twice if your album hasn't gone platinum? It's something, I don't know what it is.
I remember Justin Moore winning it 1 year, and he'd been around like 5 years.
Yeah.
And even he was like, I ain't that new.
Yeah, I've been around for a while.
But, I mean, I think you are more deserving in the male vocalist category than the new artist. And listen, you should win this award, and you don't have to comment on that. But anyway, I saw it, and I was like, Jimmy's like real, got real hits, got real... longevity here, and you guys are acting like he showed up yesterday with a suitcase, like I'm here to sing my songs.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's one of them things where award shows are interesting to me because when you look at categories, like when I see male vocalists of the year, I'm not taking into account how big their songs were. I'm thinking vocalists.
Right.
So I feel like every year, Chris Young, Randy Houser, Lee Bryce, Chris Stapleton. Those dudes, to me, are vocalists. You know what I mean? Like, they should be nominated, I feel like, every year. But I feel like sometimes people base their voting off of who their favorite is, how big their song was. But I'm like, the category says vocalist.
I would say, if we're just defining, because, again, it just has vocalists, right?
Yeah.
I would say the best vocalist with a... great body of work, and where does that meet?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't put, in my opinion, a Lee Bryce in there this year because he hadn't had the success of, like, a Stapleton record.
Or, sure.
Listen, Luke Combs should be in there.
Oh, every
a straight
year.
Singer.
Hey, that boy can sing his butt off.
Right. So, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, the categories almost are anti-literal
because
you're not that new. How long you been in town at this point?
I've been in town since 2007. I got my best shot with number one in 2018.
So... You've had 3 years since you've had a number one. Heck, that song was on the chart for a year.
Yeah, a minute.
You know? That was the record until Travis Denning lasted longer and took him longer.
Yeah, I think Best Shot went quick. Shout out to iHeart for On the Verge.
Am I thinking it's not
Make
Best
Me
Shot?
Want to.
That's what it was.
58 weeks.
Yeah, 58 weeks.
Yeah, as an artist, it gets kind of frustrating because you're just sitting there waiting and waiting. But as a songwriter, since I wrote it, I was like, let's go. This check is about to be... massive.
Longer it stays on the charts, more you get paid.
Oh yeah, I went to Disney a lot with that, bro.
Yeah, what is the Disney kick about? Because every time on Instagram, not recently, but you've been pandemic though. I've seen you out there.
Yeah, about five times. I was just there a couple days ago. I'm going again Sunday.
What's the deal? What's that rooted in?
So I fell in love with Walt. I told you, like, everyone that's motivated that comes from nothing, I look up to. That goes to you, Kevin Hart. Walt Disney. Like, this guy had his first character, Oswald, stolen. Came back, had nothing, took loans out, bet on himself, created Mickey, who he was going to name Mortimer the Mouse. I'm glad they were Mickey. But he just showed that, man, you bet on yourself, you work your butt off, you continue to work, even in the face of no, and eventually you'll get where you want to go. So for me, that was the first thing. I was attracted to who Walt was, like, his determination. And then... my family started going. It's the last place me and my grandma went before she died. We had my daughter's baby reveal there. I got engaged there. So it's something that's been a part of my family for a long time. So I love it.
What do you do when you go? Are you riding rides, or are there certain experiences that you like to hit at certain times?
Yeah, so the first thing I always do is go to Magic Kingdom. You got to set the mood right. You know. Then I ride a Carousel of Progress. I'm a classic Disney fan. Then I'll take a day, we'll do the VIP tours, we could just jump to the front of lines, just ride rides. After that, man, we chill, go to Animal Kingdom, walk around, go to Epcot, eat, drink, hang out, They got different festivals that they have come through. Like right now it's Flower and Garden to like July 3rd. And after that they got...
He knows the whole calendar of Flower and Garden.
Yeah, then after that they got Food and Wine. So like they have all their countries, but then they bring in other countries too. And they have different food stuff set up. And I love food, bro. Like heavy. So I don't know. It's special to me. I love it. I go to clear my head. A lot of song ideas I get from Disney. I get the people watch. People watching is the best.
For me, I never got to go to Disney as a kid. You know, we didn't even go on vacation.
Yeah. But I went first time in 2012. I went as an adult.
Yeah, me too. I went for the first time as an adult too. Yeah. And so I remember since I work for ABC and Disney owns ABC, we were after a shoot one day and a guy comes up and goes, hey, you know you can go to Disney whenever you want and VIP. Like they give you a guide and you can go and like they'll hook you up. And I was like, really? I said, well, I never been. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, then he said, it's going to ruin you. Because if you go and we send you with the Disney VIP, you're going to cut every line.
Yeah.
But you should do it. And I was out and we were shooting Idol and I had a day off, which is very rare out there. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go. And so I go and, you know, the woman shows up. She's in like the plaid skirt and she knows the history and you're finding the little Mickey Mouses all over. And I'm like a wide-eyed kid because I've never been before. And so I start to feel guilty because it's a Saturday and we are cutting 2.5 hour lines.
Yeah.
We're just walking around people.
Literally just walking
around. I didn't feel so guilty. I stopped. I felt guilty, but I still would still go to the front of the line.
Oh, for sure.
It was hot and, you know, I don't want to sweat. So we get there and she says to me, she goes, hey, we're going to walk with another group of VIP people. We're going to take a little side under trail. Mm-hmm. And she's like,
this is Disneyland in LA.
This is Disneyland. And she says, so we're going to take this little trip. It's not a big deal. You're going to run into some people. But they were, listen, I'm not famous. But they're so.
But you are.
No, but I'm not. But they're so worried about people bothering famous people. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't worry about it. Anybody you're near is going to be, you know, someone who's not going to bother you. And I'm like, all right, I'm worried about that anyway. But okay. So we go down and there's this small lady, long hair. And she's up ahead of me. And she's just kind of bebopping around, a lot of energy. And I walk up beside her and she's kind of got ripped clothes on, ripped jeans. And I'm just walking and I look over and that small older lady was Steven Tyler. who I had met a couple times when he was in town and was extremely nice in town.
He was my judge when I was on Idol.
Was he?
Yeah.
You went during that phase.
Yeah, him, Randy, and J-Lo.
Well, he was so nice to me here, but I didn't want to bother him or expect Steven Tyler of Aerosmith to remember me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking beside each other. He goes, hey, what's happening, man? He just sees some guy, a guy walking next to him. I'm like, hey, man, how are you? And he goes, Bobby Bones! And I was like, are you kidding me? Steven Tyler recognizes me at Disney World with no prompt whatsoever.
Yeah.
So my Disney experience was pretty good, too.
Heck yeah, Steven Tyler, bro.
And Steven Tyler was there.
Have you gone to Disney World in Florida yet?
I went and had dinner there because I had a friend who now works at Apple, Michael Bryan, who had programmed there before. And he was like, hey, I'll get you into like the greatest food place. Mm-hmm. But I haven't like done all the park stuff there. Bro.
See, we do it now. So I went to, my problem was in 2012, I like worked 3 jobs and saved up enough. And I took my mom and 2 of my sisters. We went. But then I went to Disneyland after that. But Disneyland is so small compared to Disney World. And now I remember we were just there a couple weeks ago. A week ago. And we got the VIP tour again. And then they have 2 sets of VIP tours. They have some VIP tours where you get in the fast pass lane. And if you're a quote-unquote celebrity, they take you around the back through the exit. And you literally just hop straight on the ride. And I felt so bad. I'm looking at these lines that are like 2.5 hours. Little kids out there waiting and sweating. But I didn't feel bad. You know why? Because I've waited in lines before. When I first went, I was like, you got this, kid. You work hard, man. You'll be here, too. You got this.
You're giving the kids the Kobe talk that are 2 hours back in line.
Exactly.
Like, man, hang in there. You can do anything.
You got this. I've waited in my lines for 3 hours.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
You once turned down a record deal from a label in LA that I read was going to give you over $1 million advance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, because did they want you to be a different kind of artist than you wanted to be, or was it terms of the deal?
Yeah, both. Terms of the deal and the artist. They wanted me and my band to be kind of like a hip-hop version of One Republic. So I wear, when I'm not performing, I'm wearing sweats and sneakers all day. But on stage, I love my boots, love my jeans. They told me they didn't want me to dip. I had to hide my dip can. They wanted the songs to be more hip-hop influenced. To where I do love hip-hop. I include hip-hop, R&B, rock, and all that stuff in my music now. But it's intentional where I place it. They want it to just be heavy hip-hop loop. No live bands, none of that. So I was just like, And then with that advance, I still had to take my money for myself out of it, and then my band. And then I had to, pay for my first album with that. You know, then you got taxes. And then, so when it really dwindles down a lot.
Then you
got
to pay it back, right?
Then you gotta pay it.
The word advance is where it's at.
It's a loan.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was just like, nah, you know, but for me, it really just came down to music and creativity and kind of what I wanted to do. You know, I have a, whether other people see it or not, I kind of have a vision kind of for like my life, music, TV, film, radio, all that stuff. So if something doesn't align with my vision, no matter how great the opportunity might seem to someone else, it's just not for me. You know what I mean?
Is it hard to... And I could probably understand and have empathy for the situation for you. Is it hard now, growing up with nothing, to turn down really great paying opportunities because they're right on the fence of feeling right or just chasing the money?
Man, it's hard to turn it down sometimes. But I feel like you can devalue yourself a lot of times in just saying yes to everything, no matter how big the money is. Because every time you sign on to do something, you're giving a piece of yourself away. So my thing is, if I give a piece of myself away, is it worth it? You know what I mean? Does it align with my vision, career? Does it align with my vision as a person? Like, morally, does it align with what I want to do?
But so what do you want to do musically? Like, what right now, where are you in your head and what you're trying to do musically?
Not even close. I want to continue to put music out, more. My plan is hopefully one day be able to headline arenas. But that, to me, that's a piece of it.
What about the kind of music you're making?
I love the kind of music I'm making. At some point, knowing me, I'll probably do like a straight, just like Latin slash reggae album at some point. Just I love Latin music.
Where does that come from? Where does the love of Latin music come from in your life growing up a kid in Delaware?
Man, I listen to everything. Like, my dad only listened to country, my mom only listened to Christian, but I listened to everything growing up. Latin music, you know, blues, rock, hip-hop, R&B, jazz, classical, Broadway. I want to do a full-on musical theater album, like 12 songs of songs that would be in a play. I just love it. So that's why, like, 2022, my plan is to take 4 months off, go to New York, do a Broadway show, do that. We're working on some TV and movies.
Go
stuff
to New
right
York
now.
And do a Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean do? Like Jennifer Nettles, like
yeah.
When they go up and they're just a part of a show and they live up there.
Yeah, part of a show. So it'll take 4 months. My plan is to be Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
Do they know that yet?
They're about to. UTA is working on that right now. But yeah, it's going to take 4 months off. Just going to be a special guest, Aaron Burr.
Listen, I know you say off, but I got friends on Broadway. That's opposite of off.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. I mean off from touring music.
Yeah, it's 8 shows in 6 days.
Yeah, it's rough.
You know, it is a run. That's cool. Listen, I think sometimes people get frustrated when they see people that want to do a lot of different things because they think people are only able to do a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you feel like your label's like at times? Because I can tell you, at times my radio company has been like, hey, why are you doing TV projects? Why are you touring stand-up? Like, how are you able to put all of your effort into radio if you're doing these other things?
And what people don't understand is it's all about expanding the brand.
And to me, filling my cup.
Exactly.
So I'm better at everything. If I feel good, like one of my buds, I'd call him a friend, Deion Sanders, always says, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If
Facts.
You play good, they pay good.
Exactly.
And if I'm doing things that I love, I'm better at all the things that I'm doing because I feel more fulfilled.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you got any pushback from your people.
Man, I have. You know, I've gotten some pushback from people before. Like, I remember when I was writing this kid's book. Comes out July 13th, by the way. Called My Voice is a Trumpet. They were concerned about that. Well, hey, how's he going to have time to write? I'm fine with music. You know, like the TV and film I want to do, like, you know, there's a show, I can't say it yet, but I'm the musical director now for this new Netflix show that comes out this year. So I'm doing that, you know, doing radio, TV spots, whatever. But for me, it's kind of like I have to do everything I want to do. If I don't, I will go insane. Because I tell people, being a touring country artist is just a piece of what I want to do. Not everything. Now, there's some people, like, that's it for them. They just want to, you know, write country songs, have songs on radio and tour. That's great for them. But for me, it's not. It doesn't matter. I could win every CMA, every ACM, have number ones out of number ones, selling out arenas across the world, and I still wouldn't be happy because that's only a piece of what I want to do. You know what I mean? And again, like I tell people, you have to do what's best for you, what's going to fill you up, you know? And half the people telling me that I shouldn't do it are also people that grew up in two-parent homes with money as a kid.
I think that was just talking with Kenny Chesney about this. I asked him, and I said, hey, what's the deal with – because he was like, you know, I'm friends with Bobby Bowden, and this is him saying this, and Nick Saban, and he had mentioned a couple other people. And I said, hey, what is it about you and about this group that creates excellency in your craft? And he's like, man, we all grew up hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you learn. When you grow up, like, you put it all on you. You got to do all of it, and you got to surround yourself with good people.
Yep.
And I think, and I know that's a quality that we both share, is when you don't come from anything, you have nothing to lose. But, man, once you start gaining – you start gaining early and you start figuring out how to gain.
Mm-hmm.
And you also feel like the world is bendable. I feel like I can do anything I want
to
do.
Exactly. And you're not afraid to take risk. Because, like, I've been broke before. You know, I went a couple days without eating. We grew up, we had food stamps, we had WIC checks, you know, we had government assistance, all that stuff. So it's like, that's great. But I'm not trying to go back to that.
And I'll speak, and I'll go speak at some colleges at times. And and for you, I see it too. I used to resent when I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, late 20s, how I grew up, because I was like, I started from behind.
Yeah.
But now, it's like I've been lifting weights, training my whole life, and now there's nothing I can't do because of all the crap that I went through and all the struggle of just life struggle, right? Eating.
Mm-hmm.
Until you know that kind of struggle,
dude,
like other struggles don't matter.
Yeah, I talk to some people sometimes, like, what do you mean you didn't eat for 3 days? We didn't eat. What do you mean your electric was turned off? It was off. We had no money to pay the bill. So they turned it off. That happens.
You know what I mean? I would tell people, like, hacks, what we used to do to keep the electricity on was you would send an envelope that you didn't seal open to the electric company, and they get it and they call you, go, hey, you didn't pay your bill. Like, yeah, we sent it to you. It must have fallen out. Yeah. We never put a check in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would see my mom do that as a kid and see little tricks like that, and I would tell those stories, and it was like aliens were talking to people.
Yeah.
But then what would happen is I would go somewhere like Haiti and go, oh, you know what? I thought I had it bad. It is all about what you know. It's all we're all living different stories, because I could tell my stories of growing up, and they would go, you don't even know what it's like.
Yeah, they're like, that's not struggling. like most of my friends that I have in Nashville, you know, they came from, you know, two-parent homes, whatever. They know what it's like to have a father at their baseball games. I'm like, Jimmy, did your dad's games? No. Like, me and my dad were cool until I got about six, and then we didn't get cool again until I was, like, 19. So by then, I was a man by then, you know what I mean? So games, nope. Graduation, I don't even think my dad was at my graduation. Senior night basketball, no. Like, none of that stuff. Like, all the milestones, no. And he only lived 10 minutes down the street, you know what I mean? So for me, it's like, no. That's another reason why I try to give my kids kind of everything I didn't have. Now, I make my son work for it. Like, I make him take the trash out. If his room is clean, I'll dirty it up a little bit on purpose to, like, make him clean.
He comes back to a dirtier room. He's like, what just happened here?
And he don't even know. But I feel like I'll get him whatever he wants. But I want to teach him responsibility. We don't do participation trophies at all, because I feel like that just teaches kids to be entitled. People feel like they should be extra rewarded for doing their job. No, that's your job. You get extra rewarded when you go above and beyond. So his soccer team last year came in seventh place. They got a certificate for participation. We kept that. Then they gave him a trophy the same size as first place. So he walks over to me with it behind his back. I said, let me see it. I said, you know what we're going to do with that? He said, yes. Give it back or throw it in the trash. I said, why? He said, because I didn't earn it. I said, exactly. So he tried to give it back. They told him to keep it. So he threw it in the trash, and we went home and we worked. We got better. His team came back the next year. They came in second place. They actually got a nice size trophy, not as big as first place. But I feel like you got to earn it, man. We're doing our kids a disadvantage when we're not preparing them for the real world. The real world does not care who your parents are. They don't care how much money you got. Can you do your job? Great, do your job. Now, you're not going to get paid extra for doing your job. You get paid extra when you go above and beyond. That's reality. That's how, you know, I was raised. You know, that's how I want to raise my kids, to work for everything you got. You appreciate it, and teach that same lesson to your kids.
The book comes out July 13th. My voice is a trumpet. How long ago did you write this?
Last year. I was on, I think I was on the Today Show, and a lady named Margaret from Flamingo / Penguin reached out to UTA and asked if I'd be interested in writing a kid's book. Because we were talking about, it was the whole racial thing going around. Right after the George Floyd thing. And she said she appreciated my approach to it, how I could say my frustrations without bashing people and putting other people down. So we just started writing on talking about the importance of kids using their voice, because it's like, if you teach kids at a young age it's okay to encourage people. You know, it's cool to say when somebody else is doing a good job. But at the same time, if you see something happening that shouldn't, speak up. Because if we don't, they just become adults that are cowards, afraid to say when things are wrong. They're afraid to, you know, encourage other people because, you know, it's not the cool thing to do or whatever. That's kind of what that voice, that the book is about.
Yeah, you mentioned George Floyd. This is the struggle that I had with reaching out to you during that, is I don't just see you as a black artist.
Yeah.
And I hated going, hey, man, will you come on the show? It was a weird spot for me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I remember texting you being like, man, I don't want Jimmy to think I'm just reaching out because he's a black artist.
But I feel like my dad told me something before he died. He said, son, you are one of the few black artists in country music. It's not a lot of you in country music. So when things happen in country music that white people can't understand, you are the person that they can reach out to that's in the format, you know what I mean, that has that point of view as a black male in America. And he said, you have to accept that responsibility, whether you like it or not. And I gladly accept it. Like,
my brain understood that, right?
Yeah.
But at this point, we've known each other for years, mm-hmm. and I just didn't want to be the guy going, okay, let me roll through my black friends and mm-hmm. see who will come on the show.
Man, I would have been offended if you would have asked a bunch of white people to do it and not me. I'd be like, bruh, like the whole, like with the Morgan Wallen thing, a lot of people were upset with my response, because this is how I look at that whole thing. After it happened, I reached out to Morgan, and we talked every day until he left. And I just kept it 100. I said, bro, no matter how drunk, whatever you get, there's three things we can't do. Can't say the N-word if you ain't black. Can't say the F-word if you ain't gay, and you can't beat women. It's three things. You know what I mean? And I said, was I personally offended or upset when he said it? No. The reason why, and this is from me being black, talking to a bunch of black people. First of all, the way he said it, he didn't do the, he didn't use the ER. And you know, and it was like, okay, so that's why a lot of black people we laughed at. It was, oh, okay, well, he said it right. True, you know, you shouldn't say it. But at the same time, just because I don't agree with what he said doesn't mean I should banish him. Because I tell people all the time, people claim to either follow God or Martin Luther King. And those are two of the most forgiving people ever. If Martin Luther King can forgive people that beat and killed his family members, and we can't forgive someone for, you know, using a word we don't agree with. And that's kind of what really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. A lot of times where I saw, you know, white people tweeting, I'm so offended. I can't believe that you would do this. I'm so hurt. You're not hurt. That word doesn't bother you. Now, if people would have said, I don't agree with this, he shouldn't have used that, it's a wrong word to use, one thing. But when people start to use words like offended, that word offended is weird to me, because my grandfather told me at a young age, when someone says something to someone else, not directed at you, that doesn't affect you, the only way you can become offended is if you are so self-absorbed, you make something about you that's not about you. Now, you can be like, man, you shouldn't say that, bro. Like, it's not a good look. You know what I mean? Like, don't use that word. It makes all white country artists look racist. You know what I mean? That's one thing. But when people are the extra stuff where I just feel like people just want to be seen. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes people just want to be in the spotlight. You know what I mean? Like, just the extra hurt. And I was like, okay, in the midst of this, since you're so hurt by this word, how many black employees do you have? You know what I mean? How many black communities have you gone into and done work for? You know what I mean? Have you reached out to Morgan and talked to him? You know what I mean? Like, it's you know, a lot of times it's just nonsense to where people want to look cool on social media. Like, a lot of people that posted, I know people that didn't post the black square, whatever, that do stuff for black communities all the time. And I know a lot of people that just posted it just because they don't want to look racist, but they're doing nothing. And racism isn't about what you post on your social media for the world to see. It's about who you actually are, what you're actually doing. And I had that conversation with a white country artist in town after the Morgan thing. And he was just like, man, I can't believe he would say that, man. That's so messed up, man. We got to do better for black people. I was like, well, what are you doing better for black people? How many nonprofit black organizations have you donated to? How many black employees do you have? He didn't say nothing. He has none. So I said, well, okay. Morgan might have done this, but I know a lot of great things that Morgan has done for black people. And my thing is, if we want to make the world a better place, we have to do the work. And the work is putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations. When that thing happened, when Morgan said what he said, I had two choices. I could yell at him and bash at him on social media, or I could take some time and kind of really process the whole thing and look at who Morgan is. Look at Morgan's state of mind when he said that. Look at Morgan's history, the type of music he listens to, the movies he watches. People don't realize Morgan Wallen's a lot of hip hop. And that word is thrown around a lot. Not making an excuse for using it, but it's like people ask their kids, well, why do my kids know how to cuss? Because they watch movies with cursing in it. They hear you curse. So after a while, it's subconsciously embedded into your brain to where it comes out. Whether it's hateful when it comes out or not, it's there. Now, once it's there, how do we remove it? And that takes work. That took me personally calling Morgan, and I told him, I said, bro, whether you like this or not, I'm inserting myself into your life. Because first and foremost, man, you're a father. You know what I mean? You're a father, you're a person. How do we help you become a better version of yourself for your son? And then it's deeper than, okay, yeah, you said the N-word. Okay, cool. Now we got to focus on, we'll fix that. You know, you can't say that. Let that go, okay? That word's done. Now, how do we handle this alcohol situation? You know, how do we handle your outbursts? How do we handle the reckless behavior? There's so many things than just the N-word, and I feel like everybody was just focusing on that, man. This is a guy that, a fellow country artist that we've seen struggling for years now, you know what I mean? And no one cared until he said the N-word. No, he's been a person the whole time with problems, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's me, just want to address the problem and find ways to insert myself in people's life and help them be a better person, just like people did that for me.
Whenever you finally came out and said, okay, I thought about this, here's what I'm going to say. Did you get hit from both sides, people being upset with you and happy with you?
Yeah, it was more white people upset than black people. Like, this, had somebody comment on my Instagram was like, dude, you can't speak for black people. You're not even black. I was like, what? I am black. I said, just because I don't have the same view as every black person doesn't make me more or less black. It's just my view. It's just how I choose. And I don't bash, you know, other black people for their approach. That's them. They have the right to do what they want to do because, you know, everybody views that situation differently. So, yeah, I got bashed on both sides. I got, you know, supported on sides. And there's a lot of people in the hip-hop community that reached out to Morgan, a couple artists, a couple label execs on the R&B hip-hop side that reached out to him trying to find how do we help you. And that's how I feel like that's how it should be, man. You know, and instead of just... Now, there should also be consequences. There has to be consequences. And that's the problem with his other outbursts and reckless behavior. There was never no consequences. You know, so I feel like this whole situation could have been avoided if there would have been consequences for his other actions. But I'm glad that there was consequences because you have to be held accountable for what you said. Hey, man, said this. Bro, you need a timeout right now, bro. You need to go become a better person because you have too many people looking at you and too many lives you're influencing to have this type of reckless behavior because it tells other people that it's okay. And then next thing you know, instead of one person throwing that word around, we got 50, then we got 100 people. But if we can focus and make Morgan better, all the people that he's influencing, they see his actions. They see his life. They see how he turned things around, and they become better too.
I feel like the hardest thing is to be sensible because, and I can speak to it politically, I can even speak, you know, on the surface of it, where you took some time, I wasn't allowed to have time to talk about the Morgan situation. I'm on the other next morning. I'm going, yeah. Hey, we're not going to cancel this guy.
Yeah.
I said, but he's got to take a break for a second.
For sure.
And I was getting hit from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
No, we got to cancel him. Or no, he's not. And so even politically, right? Like, I have guns. I've hunted my whole life. But I also am a big believer in gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of fall into both the bubbles.
Yeah.
And because I walk down the middle, both sides are pounding me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wondered when you said that if you were getting hit by both sides.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like being sensible is the hardest thing to be. Because you know you have your allies just pick a polar side.
Oh, yeah.
Like you got your team. Mm-hmm. You're going to go fight the other side.
Yeah.
You know exactly who your friends are. But whenever you walk down the middle and you make your own decisions based on what you've experienced in your life.
Exactly.
Then you're not uniform with anyone except yourself.
Yeah. You're. It's a crazy place to be because that's me. It's like I have my guns. I hunt. All the money I make, I don't want to get hit over the head for taxes. But at the same time, what a woman decides to do with her body is her decision, not mine, not no man's decision. Marry who you want to marry, love who you want to love. I think it all comes down to my grandfather is the most redneck, straightforward dude. He said, the thing is, people just need to mind their own damn business. That's it. If people would mind their business and just focus on you being a good person, you doing what you need to do, stop worrying about everybody else, we'd be good. But all this comes from because everybody in everybody's business.
Yeah, if it's not affecting you or somebody close to you and not hurting kids,
mm-hmm.
It probably ain't for you to be hopping in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking about you when that happened because, again, I will talk even on the radio show issues. I have guns. However, I don't think everybody should have guns.
Mm-mm. No.
And I don't think everybody, I don't even think all the good people should have every gun.
Mm-mm.
Like, should I be able to walk in by body armor? No, I probably shouldn't be able to walk in just by bulletproof. Like, why do I need... So am I... I have
unless you're a rapper.
Well,
unless you're a rapper with a lot of beef, then you need your bulletproof vest.
Then again, let's work on the beef. Let's go to therapy. But anyway, I was thinking about you when that happened because I know what it's like to constantly get beat up for not jumping on a polar side.
Yeah.
I had half the TikTok kids posting a video of me going, hey, Morgan needs to take a break. And they're going, they canceled him. And then the other half going... Hey, he should not be canceled, going, he supports him. And I'm like, God dang, I'm getting beat up by both sides. I have no friends.
That's what everybody, like, I clearly said he should be held accountable, but also said forgiveness should come in place. And a lot of people want to say, well, I give forgiveness when I see change. No. How many times do we do things, and right after we do it, we say, oh, I'm sorry, and then somebody else forgives us. They forgive us before we even had time to change our directory. You know what I mean? Because forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about you letting go of that weight. You know what I mean? And yeah, I like to think logically, man. That's the devil.
Logic's the devil.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
People hate it, but
yeah. I'm a logical thinker. I'm sensible. I'm reasonable. You know, whenever something happens, if you notice, I take at least 4 or 5 days before I respond to anything. I just think that's what you should do. There's some things that happen I didn't even mention. Because, again, it had nothing to do with me. Like, I got hit up. People said, Jimmy, what do you feel about your duet partner, Noah Cyrus, calling Candace nappy-headed whatever? I said, well, I ain't respond to that. It had nothing to do with me. I did a song with her. Yeah, I did a song with her. What she said about to Candace Owens with her conversation with Harry Styles, that ain't nothing to do with me. Why am I going to insert myself in that? Minding my business. Nothing to do with me. I never spoke on it, my views on that, and I never will. Got nothing to do with me.
Let me switch it up. You watch WandaVision?
Nope, that's something I'm catching up on this weekend. I've been watching The Bachelor, bro. This is my first time ever watching The Bachelor.
I thought Mr. Disney would be all up on...
See... I am, but we'll see. I like to watch it when I can watch it straight through.
Okay, it's now ready to go.
Yeah,
WandaVision is.
And there's like four or five other shows I was watching. I was watching, like, I had to finish Power. Power's this black show. I watch it. You know, it makes me. It's the one show that made me want to be a drug dealer. Like, it was crazy.
It made you want to be a drug dealer.
Oh yeah. Because it was the way he did it. This dude named Ghost, bro. He was just so... That's a problem with TV. See, that's people don't say that's a problem with TV. Like, imagine being a young kid, right? Seeing this show. Seeing this drug dealer living this fictional life. And they want to do it. But again, I'm a reasonable adult now, so I know it's fake. But that show Power, I was watching a show called For Life. I was catching up on Grey's Anatomy. This new show called Big Sky.
Like that show?
Yeah. Ryan Felipe was in. Shout out to Delaware. Fellow Delawarean right there.
And The Bachelor.
I don't know why I started watching it. So my fiance started watching it, and I was like, I'm not watching this show. So I started watching it. Yo, this show is so crazy,
bro. It's crazy, yeah.
Like, it's crazy. What's so funny to me about this season, the guy Matt James, bro. This dude, you could tell anybody to send a chick home, because, like, she'll say something so deep and heartfelt, he'll look at her and be like, thank you for sharing that. Like, bro, she just poured her heart out to you, and you say thank you for sharing that. You're going home, girl. You're going home.
Well, listen, man. I just root for you. I think hustlers root for other hustlers.
Yes, always.
You know, even if there are a few of us that you just, like the guys from Low Cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hang out with them very. I may see them once or twice a year.
I love them dudes, man.
But I do too, and like. They go hard,
mm-hmm.
not to brag, because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
But you develop this set of skills when you have to for so long.
Yeah.
And then you just root for others because you see other people doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an honor to, you know, watch you do what you've been doing. You know, it's inspirational to a lot of people, including myself.
Thank you.
You know, so.
Yeah, man. And any female aunt country artists out there listening, hey, do it. I had this conversation with Abby Anderson one time. It is a lot easier, I will say this, a lot easier for a decent-looking white guy to come into town with a mediocre voice and okay songs to be successful than it is for a girl. But just because there's barriers for people of color and for females, that shouldn't affect our work ethic. It shouldn't affect the quality of music we put out. So if you're a female out there listening, if you're a country artist of color, man, just keep pushing. Keep making great music. Be good to people. Work hard. And eventually you'll find somebody that believes in you, and you'll get your shot.
Do you believe the cream always rises?
I do. See, what people don't understand, though, is the cream takes time to rise. It doesn't rise right away. It has to fight through all that muck in the middle to get to the top. But once you get there, it's good. You know, just stay focused. I think if you work hard, you're good to people, you're consistent. The quality of whatever you're putting out is good. After a while, people can't deny it. So shout out to Lainey Wilson, by the way. People can't deny it.
So this muck artist you're talking about, what's his name rhyme with? I'm just kidding. There is no muck artist. All right. So the song at radio right now, it's Freedom Was a Highway with Brad Paisley. Mm-hmm. You guys check out Betty James. What's the deal with, like, what's the next project? You keeping that under wraps for right now?
No, I tell her. I spill the beans all the time. I'm thinking about doing a deluxe version of Betty James. Cause I got a song with Pitbull I want to put out.
You already have it.
Yeah.
Like, it's done. It just...
Yeah.
It's mastered.
Pitbull sent in his verse over this week. Got a couple other collabs on there I'm super excited about.
Who would you want to collab with if... You're guaranteed a yes, right? I come down from heaven, I'm like, Jimmy. And there's harp music playing around me.
Ooh,
I'm like, anybody alive right now?
It's three people.
Okay, go.
I kind of got something that works with Rob Thomas we've written before, but it would be Ryan Tedder, Adele.
From One Republic.
Yeah. Adele and Elton John. Yeah.
Better hop on Elton quick.
Dude, yeah.
He's getting up there.
Yeah, I kind of might have something in the works with the whole Elton thing as of a couple days ago.
That's cool.
So, yeah, man, you know, anything you want to do, do it. Also, by the way, the next season you shoot on that deep sea fishing show?
Well, it's not a deep sea fishing
show. So what is it exactly?
Okay, so it'll be on Disney Plus starting May 31st. I'm constantly trying to be broken. So I created the show. I was like, what can I do that is inspirational but also – is entertaining where I'm the idiot.
Mm.
So I found people, for example, there's a guy named Ralph who lost both of his legs serving in Afghanistan. A bomb hit him.
Mm-hmm.
But he won the gold medal on the U.S. Olympic Paralympic hockey team. He took the team. They went and they beat Canada. They did the whole thing.
Nice.
So I went and played against them. And I don't know hockey. I'm from Arkansas. I've never been on a sled. And these guys don't have legs. And they're all over the place. And they beat me up hard, but it was, could I score a goal in a whole game? I'm slow, but I'm also sharing his story, right? Yeah. So it's a story sharing, and then it's me experiencing either their talent, their job, their skill, and then competing in it. And to
see if Bobby scores, y'all, make sure you tune into the show May 31st on Disney Plus.
I don't know that's the first episode. It'll come out on Nat Geo channel internationally on that night, but then it gets loaded to Disney Plus the next day. The deep sea fishing is a guy who lives on his boat and goes out into San Francisco into the open waters.
How far is he out? Like 8,800 miles?
For us, we didn't get to go that far because we only had 3 days to shoot. Yeah. But he usually travels 20 hours or so on that boat to get to his spot and then stays out there, drags for, we did halibut, and we'll bring him back. And he's supporting multiple kids, and I mean his wife and kids, but he doesn't get to come home because it's not a glamorous job.
Yeah.
Lives in this tiny spot, has been through a lot in his life. His brother died in a boat, got run over by a big ship. So it's his story, but it's also me trying to catch 500 pounds of halibut.
Jeez.
Running the boat.
Rough, ain't it?
Rough. I vomited for two
it's
days.
Rough, bro.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I did a blind kayaker who got shot in the face, lost his vision, completely blind, but he kayaks through white water. We went to Idaho.
Huh?
Exactly. It's freaking crazy.
Wow.
This farmer named PJ, his great-grandfather was the first emancipated slave to buy land in the county, but they've kept it the entire time.
That's dope.
And so I went with him to learn his family story and to try to farm, you know, so many acres of corn.
That's rough.
It is hard.
Farm is rough.
For sure. But that's what it is. So every episode, we did 16 episodes.
Chuck Wicks knows a little bit about farming. His family were potato farmers.
Did you guys know of each other at all back home?
Nah, but... it's so funny. I remember the first time I met Chuck. It was in Nashville. I kind of freaked out because, like, growing up in Delaware, Chuck Wicks was the hero. I mess with him now. I said, dude, I think I'm a little bit more famous than you now from Delaware. I think I'm a little bit more famous than you on the Delaware totem pole now. But, yeah, Chuck was the man. Like, I knew who he was. He played baseball at Smyrna. Then when he got into music and stuff, and everybody knew he was moving to Nashville. I knew about him and, you know, saw Steel and Cinderella when he did Dance with the Stars, you know, all the celebrities he dated or whatever. It was like, dude, Chuck is living. So when I got a chance to meet him in Nashville, we just clicked right away. We're in a bowling league together now. We bowl heavy.
Do you bowl at his level?
I'm a little under Chuck. Chuck,
he's trying to be pro.
Yeah, so in order to be a pro, you got to have a 200 average in a sanctioned league. Chuck's average right now is like 210. I think my average is like 190.
That's legit,
but we bowl a lot. We're learning different oil patterns and all that stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, there's different oil patterns. Like, there's a pro shot and there's a house shot. And there's three different types of pro shots.
I don't even know how many holes are in a ball. He's talking about oil patterns.
It's crazy. So, like, what makes the ball hook is dry. The oil stops the ball from hooking. So, a lot of times when you just go to a bowling alley, like, where you see the arrows and stuff, we call them the diamonds, they're, like, That's where it's oily. It's typically oily from the middle to like the last two boards on the outside. Then the oil normally stops like 20 feet before it gets to the pins. And that's when you see the ball really hook and stuff like that. Then we learned the difference between house balls and different. The Black Widow ball got the beast. It's, dude, bowling is so fun.
Can I be honest for a second? I checked out about, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw you check out.
I'm just waiting for you to stop talking at that point.
Dude, I start nerding out when it comes to bowling recently, bro.
All right, listen, I'm gonna let you go. Appreciate you coming by. We haven't done this since the very beginning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Since the very, very beginning, you came to the other place and we did it upstairs. And
I got the call I was going to be on here. I was like, heck yeah, let's go. It's like, it's been a while.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you just in general. I think you're great for Nashville, just what you stand for. And not even country music artists, but to show people, listen, you don't have to just do one thing if you don't just want to do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can specialize if you want, or you can specialize in a lot of things if you want.
Facts.
So that's cool. All right, Jimmy Allen, at Jimmy Allen. There you go. All right, so it's Grammy weekend, which the Grammys are the most prestigious award. It's also kind of the dumbest award at the same time because it's not really voting. You vote, and if they want to change their mind, they do.
But man, as a band, if you win one or an artist, it's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal, but it just isn't indicative of real life.
That's correct.
It's a huge deal, and it becomes it makes people feel like, oh, wow, they are really good. They want a Grammy. However, the people nominated, sometimes they're just nominated for bullcrap reasons.
Yeah.
It is the weirdest, worst system. It is the most unrealistic award that represents really nothing except cool people picking cool people. That being said, it's still the biggest award, you know? So the Grammys are coming up. As you can tell, I have a really love-hate relationship with the Grammy. It's the biggest, most prestigious award that you can get in music.
And then in the country genre, it's tough, too, because you know the people that are deserving for the big, big awards, and sometimes they don't even get nominated because it is the cool guy club.
A panel will go, you know what? Here's who we're going to put up for it. A panel.
Yeah. That's based in?
Wherever. Nashville or Los Angeles. Oh, yeah. And then they'll get the results, and if they don't fully agree with the results, they can just go, you know what? Let's do somebody different.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Which sucks. So I have here a country artist with the most Grammy wins after I'm just like, you know what's voting. It still is a real thing.
Are there a lot of modern country artists in this list?
Yes.
Or are they all legends?
Nope.
Okay.
It's kind of mixed, 50-50.
Okay.
We'll start at number 11, Hillary Scott at number 11.
Really? Hillary Scott?
She's won 9 Grammy Awards. Yeah. Lady Antebellum, also her Christian album, won some awards. Sheryl Crow also has won 9 Grammy Awards. Which, again, do you consider Sheryl Crow country? I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I know that she's kind of over in this space now, but I don't consider her a country artist. Because I grew up with Sheryl Crow, loving her when she wasn't country.
Yeah, listen to this stuff. Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, she had Picture with Kid Rock. We played that on a pop station, though.
It's hard. You're trying to convince yourself right now.
I know, because I just love her music so much. Bonnie Raitt comes in at number 9. 10 Grammy Awards.
Boy, that's tough, too. I don't see her as a country artist.
Me either.
At all.
Yeah. You know. Pop a little bit.
Yeah. Or
blues, Americana.
What's the triple A they call that? Is that just a radio
format?
That's
a radio format, okay. Yeah. But all that mix would fit in triple A. And number 8 on the list is Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt with 10 awards. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Before me, honestly.
Oh, way before me too.
Yeah. Roger Miller has 11 Grammys.
Nice.
They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
See, I like King of the Road.
Yeah. And he was maybe one of the first crossover stars to do it. Number 6, The Chicks. They've won 12 Grammys.
Wow.
Contemporary.
Yeah,
so as you can see, it's a bit of both. Emmylou Harris has won 13. She's for sure country.
For sure. No doubt on that one.
Same thing with Ricky Skaggs. Although some would go he's bluegrass.
Yeah, that's your boy.
But yeah, he's won 15 Grammy Awards.
Man, I know you know cool people, but one time we were at the Opry and Ricky Skaggs walks by our dressing room and he looks in there and he's like, Bobby! And I'm just like, what is happening here? Like, how do you know him so well?
Yeah,
and
he's great.
He just talks to you like you guys are buds.
And the whole time I'm like, man, I can't believe this guy's talking to me like we're buds.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Allison Krauss and Union Station have 14 yeah. Grammy Awards. They've won 14 Grammys over 25 years.
Wow.
She's the number three on the list. At number two is Vince Gill with 21 Grammys. Wow. Can you imagine going to Vince Gill's house and he has 21 Grammy Awards?
They're just all over in the kitchen,
yeah,
living room.
He's like turning blenders.
He's eating cereal out of his Grammy.
Just his doorstop.
Now, he's done a lot of different stuff. He does bluegrass as well, right?
Vince Gill is the top Grammys winner when it comes to country men with 21 awards.
Yeah.
His most recent win was 2017. Who do you think number one is?
Garth.
Mm-mm. Garth didn't make the top 10.
Wow. Top 11, yeah. Grammys, Johnny Cash.
No, it's kind of a trick question. She's won 27 Grammys.
Shania Twain.
It's a trick question.
Why is it a trick question?
For sure she's country, but she also won what?
Dolly.
She also won with a band, and so it's a mix of band and solo.
Oh, I don't know, man. Like, what direction? Like, give me a direction.
What's the direction, Mike?
I don't know how you can tell him without telling him.
Yeah. She was also in the list earlier.
She was? Mm-hmm. Lady A?
Mm-hmm. No, that was Hillary, just from Lady
A. Hillary.
Mm-hmm. It's as a, just her herself, it's Allison Krauss.
Oh, Allison Krauss.
Because she has 14 with Union Station, and she has 13 otherwise. So she has 27 Grammy Awards.
That's amazing.
You know, I probably would have guessed 50 people before I guessed Allison Krauss being the most decorated Grammy Award winner of all time.
Have you met her?
No, I've been close to her, meaning we walk by each other at the Opry, but I'm never going to stop anybody. So, no.
Yeah, because she's uber, uber famous, you know, and I'd never met her or anything like that. And I just, she's not even one that I think of like being such a huge country artist. But now that you say that, well, of course, she deserves all those. She's awesome.
The Allison Krauss, Jimmy Page, no, Robert Plant record.
Robert Plant,
yeah. That was massive.
Yeah, that was huge.
And that probably won a bunch of awards, right? Did that, Mike, do you know if they won any Grammys together?
Let me see.
Just for that record or for like record of the year? Didn't you see Robert Plant?
I saw him many times.
In Austin, like yes. Walking around Whole Foods.
Whole
or something.
Foods.
By the way, Robert Plant is the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page is a guitarist, but I got him confused for a second. But Robert Plant is the lead singer.
At the time, I believe he was hanging out in Austin a lot because he was dating Patty Griffin. Patty Griffin.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it is. But anyway, they were dating. So he was in Austin all the time. And you would hear people like, oh, I saw Robert Plant here. And I was at Whole Foods. And I saw him in his shorts, flip-flops, and a basket.
And long hair, right?
Oh, dude, it's Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. Still, the hair is curly and long, down small of his back. Pretty, pretty cool.
Mike, what'd you find out?
Yeah, they swept that year. They won 5 categories.
Yeah.
That was a massive record. I remember them playing ACL in Austin. And that was a big deal.
You never saw Robert Plant around? It was just one of those things where we were like, yeah, I saw him at the park, man. Pretty crazy.
That would be crazy. Like living legend.
Yes.
When it comes to living legends in music, let's go back and forth and name who we think are living legends in music that are alive.
Paul McCartney.
The first, right? Yep. Let's just put all the Beatles that are alive. Paul McCartney and Ringo.
That's it.
Right? Even though Ringo...
still part of you.
But arguably one of the Beatles.
Still okay? A Beatle.
So I'll go... Robert Plant, Jimmy Page,
yeah.
the living members of Led Zeppelin.
Mick Jagger.
All the Rolling Stones.
All those guys. Although, I don't know the drummer. I don't think I'd recognize him.
Is that Mick Jones?
I don't know.
See who the drummer is of the Rolling Stones. Is it Mick?
Well, there's Keith Richards, and then there's Ronnie Wood. Mm-hmm. Well, I recognize all those three, and the rest of the guys, I have no idea.
Mike D, the drummer of the Rolling Stones is?
Mick Avery.
Ah, I
so
knew it was
close.
Mick.
All right.
Let's see. Living legends. Boy, then you get into this lane of Dave Grohl.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he was in Nirvana.
You can't forget that part.
The most influential band of the 90s,
yeah.
Of a whole decade, and then turned it into a massive, long-lasting multi-Grammy platinum, the Foo Fighters.
I mean, I wouldn't put him there yet. I know he's going to be there just because he's younger. He's on that younger spectrum because there's no worry that unless there's a sudden accident, like there's no worry that Dave's going to be gone soon. So I wouldn't put him as like a living legend.
Oh, I don't
yet.
Know. I might though. I might. He's right on that because he's got to be in his 50s.
Is he? Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure. All those guys are in their 50s. Yeah.
How about the living legend debate? How about, I think Chris Martin's too young for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, way too young.
I think he could be there in 15, 20 years though from Coldplay.
He's going to be a legend.
How about from Queen, the guitarist?
Oh, gosh.
Brian May. If you have to go, what's his name again? Are they a living legend?
Yeah, but you see him and you know who he is.
I'm going to go no.
Okay.
You can say yes.
I'll say yes because when I saw him at iHeart Fest in Vegas, I mean, it's pretty like, I know exactly who that is, and that's a living legend right there.
Okay, Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Living legend.
Man, I was just about to say Tom Petty because I forgot that he died.
Dead legend.
Willie Nelson. No, yeah. No debate.
Living legend. Garth Brooks.
Oh!
Because I don't know that Garth is much older than 60, if he is even 60.
Yeah, see, and I just...
Garth's the biggest American artist.
59.
Yeah.
He's not even 60
Well, how old's
yet.
Dave Grohl? Will you look that up?
I'm 52. Gonna
bet... Okay.
See, man, they're too young to me.
Even though Garth is the biggest selling artist in American history.
There's no doubt that he's going to be a living legend.
I think Garth's already a living legend.
Okay. I mean, I don't disagree with you that much where I'm going to say, like, no way. So, I mean, I'm on the borderline with him.
Who are we missing for living legend, Mike?
Steven Tyler.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, Steven Tyler's a freaking living legend for sure. And nice guy.
I mean, when he walked into our studio that one time.
It was awesome. Yep. It's one of those rare moments where I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. There's only been a couple of those. The first time I met Garth, Steven Tyler. Who else came in here? Dolly.
Oh, Dolly, of course.
Dolly. Who else are we missing, Mike, do you
think?
About,
like, Ozzy Osbourne.
I don't know about legend.
I feel like he would have been, but almost like when you join a reality show like that, like, it just kind of loses. Maybe it's because we know too much about him at this point now. We know all his kids. We know his wife. We know everything. A lot of these other living legends we're talking about, we don't know that much about him, so there's this mystique.
It's an interesting theory. I think that he just... Although they were a big band in the 70s and 80s, they don't really have a lot of songs that have just lasted the test of time. Where Queen has, the Beatles have. What do you, I am Iron Man.
Oh, don't forget, No More Tears.
No More Tears.
That was 90s.
Borderline, but I'm going to go no on Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Living legend.
Even though I'm not a Bruce Springsteen guy, I still see what he does to people, and he's in his 60s. Maybe our cutoff point is 60. Like, you got to be 60 or older and have to have defined an era of music.
I've been listening to old Bruce lately and just kind of just, I don't know. After his whole thing, the DWI or whatever, I started just listening to old stuff. Dude, it's so, so, so good. And it makes you realize just someone's growth and how awesome they were at the very beginning to just keep being awesome, and he still produces really good music, and he's just really cool to me.
I just have never spent any time. It was just not big where I grew up. It was all 90s country, and for me it was alternative, and that turned into hip-hop. And I just never, except for Born in the USA or Dancing in the Dark, I'd never invested enough time.
Born to Run. It's really good stuff.
So I think our cutoff's going to be 60 and above, and they've had to define an era of music. Are you fine with that rule?
Yeah, of course.
We missing anybody else?
Did I say Bob Dylan?
Oh, of course. 100%.
Again, I'm not a Bob Dylan guy, but I will agree with that. Then
you don't want
79.
Yeah, dude, Bob's a living legend.
Okay, but then how about someone like Neil Young? He'd be a living legend, and I do
like him.
I wouldn't pay to go watch a Neil Young show.
I wouldn't either.
And I have to think to myself, is he still alive?
He's still alive.
He is, right?
Yes.
75.
Yeah.
I think he like married a really young girl, so.
Tony Bennett.
Oh, yeah. Living legend.
Living legend. Anybody else we're missing?
I think that's all the big ones.
Who's on the precipice of being a living legend in the next 20 years? Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day.
I thought about him, for sure.
Dave Grohl, we'll put him in the next up list. Garth's not 60 yet, so we're going to have to put Garth there according to our new rule.
You're going to hate me on this one, but I go Taylor.
Fine.
Taylor Swift on the way.
Why would I hate you? Sure. Great. She's so young, though.
I just love her. She's awesome.
You have to be 60, and she's like 30, right?
I just feel like
I agree. But
she's gonna eventually. She's gonna keep doing it. If she quits, like in the next 5 years, then she may not. Because I mean,
she's not gonna quit. She's too good and probably too inspired.
I agree.
Yeah, but that's weird to pick somebody so young. But again, I guess if you've been killing it since you were 16, like she would get into the Hall of Fame if she quit right now.
Yeah. What about
we're forgetting rappers though too, right?
I was gonna say Eminem. Sure.
There aren't a lot of rappers who are old, because rap only became extremely popular in the late 80s with it obviously was a growing format, but with Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, like when it crossed over to pop. So you're not seeing a lot of really old rappers yet. Jay-Z will be there.
Snoop.
LL Cool J. Like those old guys. Snoop is still doing it. Snoop is basically Tim McGraw of hip-hop.
For sure.
Like he was around back then?
Oh, yeah.
People don't even realize Snoop was on trial for murder. And they're like, man, what's up with Snoop? Like, he's just a cartoon character rapper who does, you know, TV shows and is funny. No, no, no.
Uh-huh.
He was on trial for murder.
He's serious.
Yeah, Snoop for sure.
I mean, Dr. Dre.
Any other legends on the edge? This obviously wasn't what we meant to talk about, but it's kind of an interesting topic.
I like it. It's funny.
Chris Martin will be there.
Yeah.
John Mayer?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, he's my favorite.
100%. I mean, he can.
Living legend, Eric Clapton.
Good one.
Yeah.
You just remember that?
Yeah. Well, I thought about John Mayer, and I thought about great guitar players that are alive.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton did it multiple times. He did what Foo Fighters did, where he went from...
Cream,
The Birds, a solo artist. He had three generations of
pretty cool
of being in a big band.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Okay, well, that's all we're talking about.
You know we're going to end this, and I'm just going to keep thinking about
Jimmy Buffett, obviously. You didn't bring him up.
Living legend.
Mm-hmm. You didn't bring him up as a legend.
He stands on his own. Like, it's just, to me, he's not even a musician.
Well, then you have that whole 90s rock band group, like R.E.M., right? Michael Stipe, will he end up being a living legend?
Eddie Vedder.
No, I'm kidding.
Living legend.
I was listening to a podcast on Temple of the Dog.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What podcast is that?
Where it was
tell me later so you don't promote it on there.
Where it was basically, at one point as they were playing, it was Eddie Vedder, Chris Novoselic, the bassist from Nirvana, and Dave Grohl.
Who?
Playing drums. And it was basically a Nirvana, with somebody else, but it was basically a Nirvana band.
The earliest of Temple of the Dog?
It's one of the versions.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very cool story.
Pearl Jam's singer was the singer.
Yes.
But as it switched in and out, at one point it was basically a Nirvana with Eddie Vedder as the lead singer.
That was Eddie Vedder's first like taste of being on a big record. Because Pearl Jam was they weren't even on a record label yet. They had recorded that, and they said, hey, you're the new lead singer of Pearl Jam. Why don't you come sing on this record with us?
I'm going hungry.
I mean, that's when everyone heard that voice. It's just like, whoa, that voice is different. Like, who is that? And then here comes Pearl Jam. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.